I'd like to read in Luke's Gospel and chapter 8. Luke's Gospel and chapter 8, and starting at verse 26. And they arrived in the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And as he, as the Lord, got out of the ship on land, a certain man out of the city met him, who had demons a long time, and put on no clothes and did not abide in a house, but in the tombs. But seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to go out of the man, for very often it had seized him, and he had been bound and kept with chains and fetters, and breaking the bonds, he was driven by the demon into the deserts. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go away into the bottomless pit. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into those, and he suffered them. And the demons going out from the man entered into the swine, and the herd rushed down the precipice into the lake and were choked. But they that fed them, seeing what had happened, fled and told it to the city and to the country. And they went out to see what had happened, and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting clothed and sensible at the feet of Jesus. And they were afraid. And they also, who had seen it, told them how the possessed man had been healed. And all the multitude of the surrounding country of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were possessed with great fear. And he, entering into the ship, returned. But the man out of whom the demons had gone, besought him that he might be with him. But he sent him away, saying, "Return to thine house, and relate how great things God has done for thee." And he went away through the whole city, publishing how great things Jesus had done for him. This is one of my favorite chapters of Luke. There's so many different miracles that happen in this chapter. You see, the Lord previously has, in the previous section, he's got the power over the wind and the very forces of nature. In this passage that we read here, he's got power over the demons. And in the passage afterwards, he's got power over an incurable disease. And then finally, we find perhaps the greatest power of all, that he's got the power over death itself. But I've picked this one here because it's quite an incredible change that we see in this man. And, you know, when you think about the power that the Lord has, and you think of where he is now as he's sitting at the Father's right hand, it's the same Jesus that is standing at your heart's door tonight. And that's quite an incredible thing, to think that the same person that has this amount of power, this amount of majesty, this amount of glory, is the same Jesus that is interested in you tonight. That's why we sometimes call it a personal gospel, because the Lord Jesus is interested in your individual soul tonight. And we can see from this passage here that this man here, he was an individual, and the Lord Jesus was interested in him. The Lord Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee to go and find this man. I think in another gospel it says there were two of them, but in this one there's just one. This man here who was possessed by a demon, and it says that he had demons a long time, put on no clothes, did not abide in a house, but in the tombs. I suppose in application, this man was somebody who was in total control of the enemy. Yeah. And before we're saved, dear friends, before you're saved, the position that we find ourselves in is much the same as this man, in total control of the enemy. And you might say to me, "Well, I'm not, you know, I don't live in a cemetery, I don't live outside all the time." But without Christ, we're all slaves to sin. This man was in absolute control of the enemy. And dear friends, it's the same position that without Christ we find ourselves in tonight, in total control of the enemy. It's no wonder that the Lord says that we've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. God says that, you know, we've been delivered from the power of darkness. This man here needed to be delivered from the power of darkness as well. Total control of the enemy. You know, people don't realize it. People think that they're in control of their own life. People think that they make call the shots, they make the decisions. But you know, the devil is very, very clever at pulling the strings behind the scenes. He's very clever at trying to lure you into his world, to try and get you to find your satisfaction in the things that he can provide. You know, there's the well-known story later on in Luke of the younger son who went away to a far country and spent all that he had. You know, the devil is very good at wasting our time and trying to keep our mind and our hearts away from God. And as I said, unless we've got Christ, we're in total control of the enemy. People, as I said, people don't realize how easy it is to get sucked into the world. People don't realize that it is the devil that pulls the strings. You know, in John 10, it says, talks about the enemy here. It says, the thief comes not but that he may steal and kill and destroy. But then the Lord says, I am come that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. You know, ultimately, the devil isn't really interested in your well-being. The devil just wants to destroy you. The devil wants to keep you away from God. And it's, as it says in John, he's a thief. And it says in another place in the Bible, he's a liar and he's a murderer. You know, these are all descriptions of the enemy. And these are all very apt descriptions of the enemy. And yet it's that enemy that we're under tonight, unless you come to the saving faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's really important that we need to realize this, that this is not something that you can play games with. This is not something that you can sort of pretend doesn't exist. You know, there is a real battle tonight going on over your soul. There is a real fight going on about who will have your affection tonight. And dear friend, you have the opportunity tonight to come to saving faith, come in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read in Colossians, to be delivered from the power of darkness and to be translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. What a, you know, it's we talked today about the gospel being not a thing about choice. You know, it's such an obvious thing to do, isn't it? Why would you want to stay held in the power of darkness? Why wouldn't you want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and be delivered from everything that's holding you, from all those chains that are holding you, and to be given the freedom and the liberty that only the Lord Jesus Christ can provide? And so we find this man here, had demons a long time, and then the Lord Jesus comes over the Sea of Galilee, and he comes to find this man. And you know, this man couldn't have done anything by himself. He was in no position to do anything by himself at all. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ came to find him. He found him out. He sought him out personally. And you know, away from God, we're in no position to find our way back to God from our own side. We can't do it. In fact, we don't even want to do it. But you know, the Lord Jesus is so gracious, and God is so gracious, that he's given you another opportunity tonight. You know, you read in the Old Testament of that still, small voice. And maybe tonight God is speaking to you. Maybe tonight God is giving you another opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's seeking you out. He wants you for himself, dear friend. You know, that's the incredible thing, that God wants you. Despite being as sinful as they come, you know, and I speak about myself here, you know, God still wants you and God still loves you. That's the incredible thing in the gospel, that God is not angry towards you. God is for you tonight, for God so loved the world. You know, that's an incredible verse, isn't it? We were talking about it at lunchtime today. Well, it's such a verse that we talk about so often, a verse that perhaps one of the first that we memorize. And yet what an incredible verse it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That same God is interested in you tonight. And the Lord Jesus here was interested in this man here. A completely sorry case. We'd have probably written him off. You know, someone that has had demons for a long time. We'd have said, well, that's it. That's his lot in life. And yet the Lord Jesus comes, and he comes and he heals him. And you know, dear friend, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what you've done, no matter what position you're in, no matter what you've said in your past, the Lord Jesus has come and he's here tonight so that you can put your faith and trust in him and have your whole sinful past history washed away in his precious blood. What an incredible message there is tonight, dear friend. What an incredible opportunity there is tonight. And I just pray that before you walk out those doors at the back, that you may take this opportunity and come into the kingdom of the Son of his love. What a thing is on offer tonight, dear friend. And so we come back to this man here. He's He's found in the tombs, and the Lord Jesus comes to him, and then he, what does it say? Jesus talks to him for a little while, and eventually the Lord Jesus Christ heals him, and he's completely. We'll talk about it in a little bit. He's completely healed, and he's found sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, as I said, perhaps you don't particularly identify yourself with this man, but we need to come to the point where you realise that everything that you've done before you're saved is of no use to God, that you are in the same position of this man as being sinful, that the Bible says that all men have sinned and come short of God's glory, and that while this man is maybe an extreme case, we're all morally the same position as this man. We're reading in Genesis in the week, you know, man's heart is desperately wicked. We're reading about Cain. It didn't take very long, did it, for disobedience to turn into murder on the sin timeline. You know, we're all under this same curse of sin. And yet, the power and the majesty of the gospel is that God has provided a way whereby he can come out to bless you tonight. Come out on a righteous basis to bless you and to bring you into that wonderful kingdom of love. What a wonderful thing is on offer tonight. As I said, we can't do anything from our side, but God has moved from his own side in his love and in his mercy and in his grace. And he's come out tonight and he's come to find you. You know, when you think of the cross, you can see there the full expression of God's love coming out towards us as sinners. You know, if you read the Old Testament, there's so many types of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. From way back in the Garden of Eden, pretty much all the way through the Old Testament. And it's almost as if God was looking forward to that moment where he could fully express his love towards his creature. All those were, in the Old Testament, they were pictures of things to come. And they were all not quite good enough compared to the real thing. But you know, the blood that was shed on that cross at Calvary is sufficient. In fact, it's sufficient perhaps isn't the right word, but it's efficacious for every single person to come into blessing tonight. What a wonderful thing that is. You know, from the moment Adam sinned, God started to look towards the Lord Jesus Christ. God can't find satisfaction in our lives here. God can't find satisfaction in the natural man. God can't find satisfaction in the natural woman. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that he finds his satisfaction in. Right from the Garden of Eden, God started looking towards the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only man that's ever done for God. That was the man that shed his blood on that cross at Calvary. That was the perfect offering, the sinless sacrifice. You know, the Word of God can say it a lot better than I do. When you read about that cross, when you read about the Lord Jesus on that cross, what does it say? Matthew 27. You know, the incredible stoop that the Lord Jesus took. Having spit upon him, they took a reed and beat him on his head. And then they mocked him and led him away to crucify him. And then they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And there, having crucified him, they parted his clothes. And then you perhaps get the most solemn verses of the New Testament, where it says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You know, that was the moment when God poured out everything that he had against sin on his only beloved Son, so that he could have a righteous basis tonight to come out and bless you. You know, we heard last week about the veil of the temple being rent from the top to the bottom. And God could move out in love and in blessing, and he can come and he can embrace you in righteous love tonight. And it's done on a righteous basis. There could be no other way for God. God couldn't turn a blind eye to the things that we've done in our lives, to sin and to sins. You know, it's been, sin was judged at the cross. And if you come to the saving faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins can be forgiven. What a wonderful thing it is. You know, when the Lord says, "When the Son shall set you free," he really means it when he says, "You will be free indeed." There is no freedom like the freedom that the Lord Jesus can offer you. There is no other man, there is no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. There's no other way than the way that God has set up. There's no other method than by the design that God has thought about from before time. This is God's plan. This is God's way. Who are we to say otherwise? You know, it's got to be through the Lord Jesus Christ and coming in repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that you look upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you see him there hanging on that cross and you say, that blood was shed for me. And you have faith that that finished work at that cross is sufficient to wash away every single sin that you have ever committed in your life. And you know, that passage in Matthew, thank God, doesn't finish there, because it goes on and it speaks about the resurrection. You know, the moment when the Lord Jesus Christ burst out of that grave, and that is our guarantee that God accepted that offering, and that we can stand before God now because of all that the Lord Jesus Christ is and all that he has done. And dear friend, that can be your portion tonight as well. If you will come in saving faith of the Lord Jesus, if you will come and admit that you are a sinner, if you admit that you are just as bad, and it's not an easy thing to do, that you are just as bad positionally as this man here, completely away from God, completely and utterly abhorrent to God in all your sin. Your sin is abhorrent to God. God loves you. But then we see here the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes and he heals this man completely. You know, the change that came over that man, we find him here later on. They went to see what happened and came to Jesus, verse 35, and found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting clothed and sensible at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that man had such a change come over him. You know, it's like the Apostle Paul, isn't it? But it's the same change that goes on in your heart if you will accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, perhaps we are not, you know, perhaps, as I said, you're not out there every night in the tombs. But your heart is in the same position. And the same transaction that goes on in this man's heart and in the Apostle Paul's heart is the same transaction, the same thing that happens in your heart if you will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Delivered from the power of darkness, translated to the kingdom of the Son of his love. From here to here, because of Jesus. That's the gospel, that's how it works. And it's such a simple message. And perhaps I'm overcomplicating it. But it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about his finished work on that cross at Calvary. But you know here, he wasn't just this man here. He was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And I think that's really quite interesting, because he wasn't just saved, if you like, from the grip of the enemy. But he was here and he was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't just save us from the penalty of sin. It doesn't just save us from going to hell. But it also saves us from the power of sin as well. We're given a new heart. We're given a new way of, a new perspective. And we're given the Holy Spirit as well, so that we can live down here in life according to him. You know, the Christian life is impossible to live in your fleshly, natural self. It's not possible. You need the Holy Spirit. You need a new heart in order to do it. And the moment you're saved, God gives you those things so that you are able to live down here for Christ, as Christ's ambassador down here. You know, so he's here and he's sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And the last thing we see him, he's going away and he's telling everybody about what he has done, what the Lord Jesus has done for him. And you know, it's the same for us. It's a fantastic, marvelous thing that we've been saved from hell. But there's not just that side to it, the gospel. There's so much more on offer than just being saved from hell. There's the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's a new heart. We're given a hope. We're given a guarantee that one day we'll see our Saviour face to face. We're brought into this marvellous, well, the church. We're brought into this company of believers called the Assembly. And, you know, we're brought in to enjoy and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and to worship God. There's so much more on offer than just being saved from hell. The gospel is so wide-ranging, and so there's so much blessing involved in the gospel. It's not just about you making sure that you're saved from the penalty of sin. There's so much more to it than that. And so we come to this man here. He's sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And then we see him, as I said, he's went away and through the whole city publishing how great things Jesus had done for him. And, you know, perhaps, and I'm looking around here and I see, you know, most of the people here to the best of my knowledge, have made that decision and have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I also want to look at this passage very quickly about how actually the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice is able to free you completely from the power of sin. And that perhaps there's something in your life that is holding you back from completely serving the Lord Jesus. Perhaps there's something that is still in your life that you don't want to give up. Perhaps there's something that is still holding on to you from the previous life that you once knew. And you know, the Lord Jesus is able to free you from everything so that you're able to serve him. The Lord Jesus is able to really give you freedom. So if there's anything that is holding you back in your life, there's anything that's holding you back from completely giving your entire life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's able for that as well. It's all about the Lord Jesus. It's all about that sacrifice. The remedy is exactly the same. Whether you're being saved from the penalty of sin or whether you're being saved from the power of sin, it's all about that one single sacrifice. And he's able to give you freedom from hell, but he's also able to give you freedom from the power of sin that may be holding on in your life. You know, I speak to myself as well. Is there anything in my life that is stopping me from completely committing my whole life to the Lord Jesus? You know, there's a hymn in our book, isn't there? Where the last, when I survey the wondrous cross, and the last line of it is, if I can find it, it's requires my life, my soul, my all. There's a, you know, you think about the tremendous sacrifice that the Lord Jesus gave in order to secure you. And, you know, doesn't that deserve some sort of response? Doesn't that deserve something from you back? You know, you can never repay. Don't get the idea that you can ever repay God back for what he's done. But we can certainly live our lives down here while we're waiting for the Lord Jesus. And we can live our lives down here by the Holy Spirit and striving to be as Christ-like as possible. That's a small thing to pay in response to the great gift and the great love that God has given us, is it not? And so, that's pretty much all I have to say about this, I think. We have a wonderful Saviour who is able to save us, not just from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin as well. And then, of course, one day he'll save us completely from the presence of sin. But that's another thing, and I don't know enough about that. But one day he will come back. He will come back to claim all those that belong to him. And that we will see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. We will be in his presence forever and ever. That's one thing, and again, that the gospel offers, that tremendous hope that we will see our Saviour face to face. You know, there's lots of people in this room tonight that are waiting for that moment, that call, when we will hear the Lord's voice in actuality and we will see him face to face. And dear friend, that can be your hope tonight as well. You know, I really hope that the attractiveness as a Saviour, of the Saviour, has come across tonight, because he is a wonderful Saviour. He's a Saviour, well, there is no other. There is no other. He's a Saviour that loves you. And there is a God tonight that loves you too, as well. And dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ has given everything so that you can come into blessing. God has given everything so that you can come into blessing. And the Holy Spirit is able so that you can live your life down here as pleasing to him. And I just pray that, dear friend, before you walk out those two white doors at the back, that you will have come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, if there's anything in your life, dear believer, if there's anything in your life that is still holding you back, that you may look to the Lord Jesus Christ and that you may see the freedom and the liberty that is on offer tonight to free you from all things. I just pray that this may be everybody's portion tonight, for his name's sake.